Good evening. Welcome back to Boomer Rex Tonight, your nearly daily source for news and politics. We had a mostly relaxing weekend off as we recovered from the whatever we had. I'm calling it the Omicron. We are super pumped to hang out with you for the rest of the week. I actually like this Monday through Friday rather than like everyday thing. I think that's good.
It takes some of the pressure off.
Oh my God, we gotta find stuff to talk about.
Well, and the weekend is always slow news, so the shows don't do enough.
Well, and it gives me time to look into like my deep dives and stuff. Like I got some information coming up for you. So, as our goal is to give you information from three different perspectives, Mr. Boomer Rex.
Good evening.
Is a boomer and asshole.
I like that you were the one that was making noises during the intro.
Yeah, I forgot. 2 days off is too much, apparently. is a millennial, and they both know tons about politics.
Okay.
All the things. Lady Heathen, am a millennial, a female, and I am learning about politics. We want to inform you, our listeners, on news and politics from each point of view at our round table. Yes, we do literally sit at a round table. Tonight we have the story of our first powerful women of history. But before that, let's dig right into our headlines. Tell me, Mr. Boomer Rex, about these forged election certificates.
Oh my God, right?
This is terrifying.
Yeah.
This is not good.
So we have found forged election certificates declaring Trump the winner in Arizona, Michigan. I don't think Georgia. Anyway, so Arizona was predictable, right? Because we had the fraudit and the cyber ninja clown car and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. But Arizona took legal action against one of the pro-Trump sovereign citizens groups whose leaders met with Rudy Giuliani. And they sent a cease and desist letter ordering them to stop using the state seal and referred the matter to the state attorney general. Damn. Hey, attorney get on the damn ball.
Yeah.
So. Look, it's sovereign citizens. This is what the cops wanted, right? This is some shit where you no-knock these motherfuckers because they are going to shoot you.
Yeah.
There's bombs. There's going to be bombs. It's sovereign citizens at their homes. I'd recommend arresting them anywhere the fuck else.
Right.
Grocery store is a good spot.
So anyway, Michigan's even better because Kathy Burden, who's a Republican National Committee woman from Michigan, signed a GOP elector's certificate for the U.S. Senate and sent it. Nothing legitimate about it. Totally forged, total nonsense.
Yeah, but this was an actual person with a job.
Yeah.
Like, this was a human in the levers of power.
Yeah.
So I am so much more concerned about this than any of the nonsense of the riot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So anyway, recently asked by a new newspaper about the false certificate, her comment was, I can't comment on anything like that. That's just a long time ago.
It's not a long time ago. And first of all, not a long time ago. Second of all, what the fuck? You were trying to displace
the person
that America voted for. Yeah. This is not
so
okay.
I'm waiting for somebody in Michigan to gin up the appropriate charges.
Yeah. No, this is a human who should, again, get arrested when they're coming out the grocery store and their hands are full. I don't think they'll resist the way the sovereign citizens kids will, but hey, those are assholes doing stuff like, again, sovereign citizens are batshit crazy. No, what I find annoying about this, especially that it was so long ago, is this is like when Gavin Guinness resigned from the Proud Boys when some of them got popped so they could avoid charges. Because if there isn't a leader, it can't be a gang due to... No, asshole, that's an action you took after their action. There was a gang right up until you gave this speech.
Right.
And the fact that you've admitted that it's part of a legal strategy makes that all void. In fact, I think that just proved conspiracy.
Guilty knowledge.
So, no, This is the terrifying part.
Yeah, this is what we're talking about when we say that Trump got real fucking close.
When I get foamy at the mouth and a little wild-eyed about this, it's mostly about this part. That we came really close.
Like, disturbingly close.
And you could probably turn a bloodbath in the Capitol building enough to, like, get everything to quiet down, have all the calm heads talk about how we need to be, gentle and whatever, and talk ourselves into losing another election.
Yeah.
But, or just have this, just the chaos of,
yeah,
here's an official signing official things, officially sending them, illegally, I bet officially.
Where yeah. are the charges?
This is an illegal form. This is fraud. This is, did they mail it? If they did, it's probably mail fraud. Probably it's
mail fraud. Yeah.
Like, this is a lot of charges. Talk about
stacking charges? Let's stack these fucking charges. Fucking do it. Hit them hard.
I was willing to throw away the key on the bored little old lady who was filling out people's absentee ballots.
Yeah. Don't
this
do that.
Is a human who
knew better.
Is there any real reason we can't reopen Alcatraz? Like, I want a
We can find better places.
Build a panopticon with thrones.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you don't even see people. Just one of the giant things comes over and shocks you 12 times.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cool.
No, crazy. When I saw that was the...
That's just nuts.
Well, because there were the previous noises about, oh, we'll send another thing of delegates. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But except that could kind of work. Yeah. But this is the icing. This is the dotting of I's and crossing of T's that one does when you're about to do a bloodless coup.
Yeah.
Because once you've done it, there's no reason not to do it anymore. And loads of the U.S. internal organs can probably be turned to some evil purpose by pointing out the instability that would happen.
Oh, yeah. And if Trump is allowed to run again, this is exactly the type of stuff we're going to have to be worried about.
Yeah, I feel bad for
exactly the concern.
Anyone see that article about the D.C. cop feeling bad that he suddenly realized that, well, loads of cops are not on his side? We should be worried about that.
Yep, should be.
Aggressively.
Should be getting rid of them.
All right, so, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe for more bummers and, scary
stories. Oh, yeah, we're good at that.
And let's move on to Trump's fifth column.
What have they done now?
Yeah.
This is Trump's media support, right, which parrots his bullshit and his BS and his lies.
Yeah, from the crazy end of Alex Jones and Mike Lindell to...
Yeah, well, Fox has decided where they want to be.
And a good makeup department. Where they want.
They're giving Jesse Waters, who's a right-wing flamethrower, right? Built his career on controversy and incendiary commentary. He's going to be their nightly 7 p.m. host.
Whoa.
So Fox News has become Newsmax. OANN.
If you're Fox News, you've built your entire shtick around being the farthest right allowable voice, and these sons of bitches have like revived the John Birch Society.
So you've got to scooch over and claim their viewers. So anyway.
I
want to be just slightly to the left of RT.
Frankish or Bayobacter.
Yeah.
If Fox News could actually do like good reporting again, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Like if they could be reasonable.
Not happening. People. Not their business.
They've gone all the way as far.
Who do we
right
think is good?
As they feel that their
Chuck Todd
listeners are willing to accept, and that's just not okay.
No, all of the good news being behind good paywalls. We wonder why people end up listening to shit that's free.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why we're free. Right. Unless you want to join our Patreon, we have, the Patreon is up. I will continue. It's in the link of our description for our YouTube, I believe, starting on Friday, I think was the first time I put it. But we'll share it, and I need to share it to our Facebook.
Yeah.
But our Patreon is up.
Send my cat money. We need gloves. Yep. We do a lot of gross things. Yeah, we need gloves.
We did. Gloves, and I need notebooks.
Yeah, I've got a big hole in the back of my hand.
I go through notebooks like there's no tomorrow.
See?
So, it's tragic. So we have fun levels on our Patreon. I'm not going to describe them to you because it's funnier if you read it yourself.
All right.
But I will say we have $1, we have $6, and I think 15 is our top tier at the moment. And we're going to play with
them. So you are going to tell them about it.
I'm going to tell them about it, but not the details, because the details in the description are the fun part.
Okay.
Because you got the Path of Barnabas at $1. You can be a pirate.
So now she's going to tell us about it.
No. Never mind. But you know what? You guys, you know what? You want to do the show? Do your show.
We're just cruel to you for fun.
I'll just be here.
All right. So the next one up was a live deer that was found in a car's hatchback during a traffic stop. So the police pull over a suspected impaired driver in Pennsylvania.
I mean, God, you'd hope.
Well, yeah, that was my response.
I have questions.
Impaired driver, live deer. Yeah, this one worked. And it's in Pennsylvania. What, did they drive there from Florida?
Did he hit the deer and pick the deer up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd apparently hit the deer. I suspect they knocked it out and thought it was dead. And they put it in the hatchback. And then they were driving along and attracted the attention of the Polizei, who stopped them and found a live deer in the hatchback. So there's a good video of somebody, oh, thank God, the deer was in feet first.
Also true.
Because there is video of one of the passengers sort of grabbing the deer around its waist while it kicks frantically.
Yeah.
And carrying it to the side of the road.
Now, if you're gonna I have struggled with a deer
whose feet were not fully disabled.
Yep.
You don't want to struggle with a deer.
No.
And it's going to go bad for everybody because you're almost certainly trying to help the deer and he's almost certainly making it worse.
Yeah.
And
no, if they know that they hit it in the head, right, get out, make sure it's dead, and that's probably going to involve a penknife or something.
Yeah.
If you're going to take it for meat, because I don't eat things you hit unless you know where you hit it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no, don't. Just leave it on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hit one night in New Hampshire. I'm driving along. It's a beautiful, beautiful night. Window down. Got my elbow on the windowsill. And the deer literally came out of nowhere. And I bopped it in the side of the head with my rearview mirror, which destroyed the mirror.
Yeah.
And so I pulled over way out of the way. And I'm watching the deer. And it's staggering in circles. And it fell down. And I go, great. I killed a damn deer. Damn it. And so I'm getting set to call the cops and tell them there's a dead deer and so forth. When it got up and trotted off.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope it made it. I'd be really sad to have killed a deer that way. But what it was doing was coming up out of the median, right? No lights from anywhere hit that deer. In fact, I didn't understand what happened because from my perspective, my world filled with broken glass and bits of plastic.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I looked in my rearview mirror, I saw a deer staggering, and I thought, oh, shit. So anyway, my mind lived, I think.
Good luck, deer.
So, deer, if you remember it, drop me a line. Let me know you lived. So, anyhow.
Like, comment, subscribe for more deer head injury stories.
Absolutely. Oh, that was one bopped deer.
Oh, I bet. On the other hand, if you're not, like, unconscious, then do a lot of things. Verb all the nouns.
Yep.
I feel for the deer that wakes up in the back of the hatchback, because this has got to be bad. This is worse.
Can you imagine if that deer had managed to get its feet under it and said, I want to leave?
Yeah.
And you're in the car with it, going down the road 60 miles an hour with a frantic deer trying to get out of your car.
Not for long.
Through the front seat.
Yeah, I'm laying down and standing on the brake and getting out.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing good going on here.
Okay, so Risen is back.
Am I allowed to get back
sure.
to my...
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Boomer Rex is about damn time. What good news do you have for us now? I like good news.
So anyway, it begins to look to me like we might have some judges who take their positions seriously.
Only because they know that if they don't, the first constitutional sheriff that disagrees with them will literally kill them.
So anyway, District Judge Ahmet Mehta ripped a big hole in President Trump's claim that he never intended to incite violence. And during the hearing dealing with multiple civil lawsuits filed against Trump and his allies for their role in inciting the riots, Mehta questioned lawyer Joseph Sibley, who was representing defendant Rudy Giuliani, about why didn't Trump act sooner? And in particularly, he questioned Sibley's argument that because Trump didn't specifically call on his followers to commit acts of violence, that means he bears no responsibility for their actions, even though he waited more than 3 hours. And the judge's response was, if my words were misconstrued and they led to violence, wouldn't somebody, a reasonable person, whose words are being misconstrued say, wait, stop. So yep. We're beginning to get exactly the right kinds of pushback.
Mm-hmm.
So Sibley tried to argue that Trump had asked his supporters to act peacefully. Of course, he didn't.
He did not. Those right. words never came out of his mouth. No. I watched it.
The whole thing was incendiary.
The whole tenor was about fighting. Oh, everyone yeah. who gave a
we
speech
need to fight.
That day
we need
was,
to stand yeah. up. We need to take back
And yes,
our
none
capital.
Of that was new rhetoric.
No. Yep.
And that's the fucking concern.
But it was immediately prior to saying, march to the Capitol and take your country back.
Yes. Yeah. No, that no, was the intent, and that's what happened.
Long end of chain when we got into our nonsense argument about whether or not Palin's thing was crosshairs on elections. And no, it's been this slow rumble of, yeah, they're taking America away, and what are you going to do about it? They think you're a bunch of bitches. You should show them.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how that story ends.
Not pleasantly.
I don't think at a ballot box.
Yep.
Nope. All right. Anything else to say on that?
Nope. That's it.
Cool. I have a couple of, well, I have a good story and then a kind of bummer. But Uber driver goes above and beyond.
Loved that story.
Devontae Williams was stuck on I-95 in Virginia with his female teenage passenger. Devontae drives for Uber part-time and said he didn't know Monday's severe winter storm had created a 50-mile backup, leaving some motorists stranded for more than 24 hours when he accepted the trip from Washington, D.C. to Williamsburg, Virginia. The young woman's train was canceled due to weather when Williams picked her up around 2 a.m. at Union Station. After seeing trucks and cars, a ton of red lights ahead, Williams attempted to follow an alternate route, but officers sent him back to the interstate due to downed trees and power lines.
Yeah.
As soon as he is back on the highway, his GPS updates, adding another hour and a half to their trip. He regularly checked on the young woman in his care, offering snacks and drinks. He said, and I quote, "She's telling me she's okay, but I could hear her on the phone talking to family and friends, and I can just hear that she's exhausted, emotional, and just tired." He didn't have any blankets in the car and was worried about his gas running out, having to keep the car on for heat. Eventually, he follows a work truck and other cars to turn around and head back to D.C. Not feeling comfortable leaving his young passenger alone at Union Station, he convinces her parents to let him pay for her to have a hotel room for the night so she could rest and be safe. Around 8 a.m., he checked her into a hotel room and offers to drive her back to Williamsburg for free when the roads clear. At about 8:30 that night, Williams received a text from the young woman saying she was safe and that a family friend was able to get her home. She and her parents thanked him profusely for keeping her safe. Uber is now reimbursing Williams for the hotel room and thanked him for going out of his way for his passenger. Really, Uber? I mean, come on. Make him your customer service CEO or something. I mean, this is just dumb. So now while Uber is aggressively fumbling this perfect PR opportunity maybe fix some of their bad reputation for mistreating their employees, or as they refer to them, contractors.
Yeah. Well, spit on contractors.
Alto, an upscale rideshare company that operates in Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, Miami, and DC, jumps on the chance to pick up Williams, and they offer him a part-time job as a lead driver. He will be training other drivers on customer service and maintaining their vehicles. A spokeswoman for Alto said in an email to CNN, "We are thrilled. Devontae is exactly the type of customer safety focused leader we are looking to help lead our DC presence."
There you go.
Williams's full-time job is as a property manager and a realtor, and he's excitedly working out the details of his new job with Alto. Well done, Alto, and Uber, once again, you dropped the fucking ball. I mean, how many chances do you need as a company to try to fix the bad PR you have? I mean, reimbursing him and not giving him some sort of a bonus or some sort of a anything. Yeah,
this is the shithouse bit of Bitcoin and Uber and all the other, right? And it's not fly by night because they don't go away. It's just...
Yeah, that's not their model.
Trying to define the absolute bottom of the barrel.
Right. He's not worth more to them than any other driver. As long as he shows up and drives people and charges them, they're good to go.
And there was a good news story, and Uber's name was said.
Yeah.
So, no, I exactly.
So maybe we shouldn't have said Uber's name.
Well, I called Uber out for making bad life choices.
Yep.
So what we can say is that Uber did, you know, the least, the absolute legal least they could do.
Oh, yeah.
So standard Uber.
As little as they possibly could to say, well, we gave him the money for the hotel room back.
Yeah, what do you want?
What else are we supposed to do? I don't know, maybe do what Alto did and say, you are now our training specialized supervisor for how to give good, you know, customer service and how to make sure, because let's face it, is it Uber or is it the other one that's like lots of rapey people? Was it Lyft?
It's all
no idea.
Some of them has like a bunch of rapey drivers. It's not okay. But anyway.
You're putting somebody in charge of a passenger.
Yeah.
You're going to attract exactly that kind of person.
Well, that's
now,
what
hopefully
they're...
there aren't that many out there, and hopefully you can screen a few out.
That's what their business model was exactly designed for.
So.
Was to offload all of that back end of a real taxi company.
Yes.
Into contractor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Slave.
And again, it's the, we know they're not employees, right? We know they're not contractors because they're doing more than 40 hours. They don't pick their hours. It's dumb.
Yeah.
So in some sad news, Bob Saget passed away in an Orlando hotel while on tour. He leaves behind three daughters he shared with his ex-wife, Sherry Kramer, and Kelly Rizzo, a food blogger he met in 2015 and married in 2018. Rizzo says she is shattered by the news, and that Bob was her everything. So, from everything I've heard, he was an amazing, wonderful man, and the heart-wrenching thing.
I've seen him do good stand-up.
People are saying
less funny.
I don't know if you guys remember watching Full House, but the actor the actress who plays Stephanie posted a very heart-wrenching tweet that made me cry. It was adorable. But, it's just sad.
Yeah.
But thanks, 2022. Fucking starting it off right. Jesus.
Kind of sad.
Oh, God. So depressing. All right. So let's move on to updates with Boomer Rex. What you got going on with Omicron?
All right. So we still have the standard stuff. Stay the hell off cruises. Stay the hell off planes. Child hospitalizations are going to be high for the most part. That's not a super bad thing. I saw one thing actually happen right today, and we'll see if it stays right.
What's that?
So we have a tennis player who went to Australia with the understanding that he could have a vaccine exception if he had tested positive for COVID in the last 6 months. Well, he tested positive for COVID in December of 21, right? So he met that
requirement.
Seems
like 6 months.
Came to, and then you could postpone the vaccine for 6 months, right?
All of which is quite dumb, but sure.
Yeah, but that was the rule.
Sure.
Okay. So anyway, he's now loose in Australia, but Australia appears to be still considering trying to mess with him, which is just, Australia, what the fuck? So anyway.
Damned if they do, damned if they don't.
This wasn't a special program for the ultra rich. This wasn't, right.
Australia is as close to the south and southwest of the United States as you can get and still have indoor plumbing. And I can understand, like, fuck, man. The Australian government knows if you give Aussies an inch, they're going to try and take a mile because they're exactly like us.
Yeah. So I understand their frustrations that they've been locked down for months and, you know, could travel state to state and so forth. Okay, fine.
An update,
but that's not the agreement your government made.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand why you're letting these people in to play a fucking game of who cares.
Yeah.
What international?
The short answer should be: if you are not fully vaccinated and boosted, you may not enter Australia. period.
Yeah.
And so. And I don't understand why they would have made a deal otherwise if they were going to make a big fuss
about it. Coming over under the Putin's visa, and the whole thing got bureaucratic and dumb so fast.
Yeah. And then they tried to cover it up, and,
yeah.
You know, it just standard, you know, just bureaucratic bullshit.
Yeah. No, so. Make up your mind. Like, one way or the other, you can't be bitchy about it after the fact.
Right. So. Absolutely.
Tell me about your climate weirding update.
Okay, so we all have the impression that severe weather events are becoming more common, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the World Meteorological Association found that an extreme weather event or climate disaster had occurred every day on average for the past 50 years. That is a fivefold increase in frequency since 1970.
Jesus.
That seems so like a lot. Is,
that does
seems
seem like,
a lot. So.
Which should coincide, right? Along
yeah.
with our
it's
going to
get
output.
Worse and worse and worse. The other thing, I had one here that I wanted to point out that not all climate disasters are done by the climate, right?
Right.
At one time, India grew sustainable crops. Then they fell in love with rice, and now they have put themselves in a position where, for instance, the Punjab is expected to run out of groundwater in 20 to 25 years.
That's not going to be a problem, I'm sure.
No, and all those people will be fine because, you know, they don't. You don't need water.
They'll just move.
Yeah.
Again, we are currently running out of water in California. We do not have the water to support the agricultural lands we are using and the people needed to work it.
Yeah.
So pick one.
Yep.
Well, I mean, really, let's be honest. We're going to pick half of both.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, here was a case where, and I don't think it was even a societal choice, right? It was just a preference for a, you know, less sustainable crop that has put them in pretty desperate danger. So we shall see.
Yeah, crazy.
Good luck, India.
All right. So, let's discuss our first powerful women of history. We spoke about her briefly, enough that I was intrigued enough to find out more information about her. Claudette Colvin.
Okay.
So, Claudette Colvin was born September 5th of 1939.
Fuck, she's old.
Claudette went to a segregated school. Black people weren't allowed to try on clothes. They had to trace their feet on paper bags and bring them in for shoes. I mean, this is just gross. I mean, I knew about like the water fountains and different shops and such like that, which are all horrible on their own. But researching Claudette has shown me some like whole other just ugly layers that I vaguely knew were there. But her story just puts it all together in such a graphic and disturbing clarity that this was truly a frightening time to be quote unquote different. I say different in quotes because obviously, I mean, you're just a human being and it just happens to be the color of your skin. But basically, she's living in a terrifying time to be a black person. And every day her quote unquote blackness makes her life difficult, which is much like today, only on fucking steroids. at 15 years old, now, mind you, feel free to like jump in if you have a comment or whatever. At 15 years old, Claudette is learning about black history for Black History Month at our school. Back then they called it, and I really don't want to say this word, but this is what it was called back then.
So what I think it is?
Yeah, the N-word.
Okay.
It's Negro History Month.
So not the N-word.
Right.
But yes.
It is the N-word. For me, it's the N-word. Anything like that is not okay. There
don't
was
dilute the other.
I know, but I can't. I don't like saying it. I just don't.
No, it's a fucking horrific thing. And anyway.
Yeah, no, it's just not okay. But anyway, they were studying black leaders like Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth. We will be talking about Sojourner Truth at some point, but I think pretty much everybody knows about Harriet Tubman. The class also talked about injustices that black people suffered daily under Jim Crow segregation laws, like not being able to eat at a lunch counter. What's a, like, I don't understand the concept of
like the counter at Denny's.
Okay, so like a
like
bar
indoor dining
that you can sit at to. They weren't allowed to sit there.
Nope.
That's terrible. That's ridiculous.
And when they did, the shithead scumbag, white trash garbage, poured condiments on them and did all kinds. Yeah, no, this is where all of the crazy starts.
Yeah.
I don't like this at all.
No, 30s was gross.
Okay.
Remember, we were also sending trainloads of American white kids into the Midwest going, well, someone will take you home, probably.
No. No, bueno.
I think we had only just stopped the baby farms.
What?
So, yeah, we'd give you a baby and give you a lump sum to take care of them. And some people killed as many as 57 babies.
Yeah, that was that crazy woman you were talking about.
Yeah, that's the 20s into the 30s. Like, there's a lot of there's a reason why we talk about American mythology, because there's a lot of gross to go around just everywhere. Just,
So anyway, so there's a book that Philip Hose, it's H-O-O-S-E, wrote about Claudette Colvin called Claudette Colvin, Twice Toward Justice. There's an excerpt that describes her arrest. And I want to share that with you verbatim, because it really describes in her own words the terror that she experienced that day. And first, let me set up the scene that leads into the beginning of this excerpt. Claudette gets on the bus home after school, her head swimming with all the wrongs being done to her and all other Black people. She is asked by the bus driver to give her seat up to a white person, even though...
A white man, by the way.
I wasn't able to find the specifics, but even though she was in a seat designated for Black people. So she's asked to move back, and she refuses. The bus driver calls the cops on her, and here is where we'll pick up the quote from the book. So Claudette says... and again, I am quoting this verbatim. One of them said to the driver in a very angry tone, "Who is it?" The motorman pointed at me. Now, she's referring to the bus driver. I heard him say, "That's nothing new. I've had trouble with that thing before." He called me a thing. They came to me and stood over me and said, "Aren't you going to get up?" I said, "No, sir." He shouted, "Get up again." I started crying, but I felt even more defiant. I kept saying over and over in my high-pitched voice, "It's my constitutional right to sit here as much as that lady. I paid my fare. It's my constitutional right." I knew I was talking back to a white policeman, but I had had enough. One cop grabbed one of my hands and his partner grabbed the other, and they pulled me straight up out of my seat. My books went flying everywhere. I went limp as a baby. I was too smart to fight back. They started dragging me backwards off the bus. One of them kicked me. I might have scratched one of them because I had long nails, but I sure didn't fight back. I kept screaming over and over, "It's my constitutional right." I wasn't shouting anything profane. I never swore, not then, not ever. I was shouting out my rights. It just killed me to leave the bus. I hated to give that white woman my seat when so many Black people were standing. I was crying hard. The cops put me in the back of a police car and shut the door. They stood outside and talked to each other for a minute. Then one came back and told me to stick my hands out the open window. He handcuffed me and then pulled the door open and jumped in the back seat with me. I put my knees together and crossed my hands over my lap and started praying. All ride long, they swore at me and ridiculed me. They took turns trying to guess my bra size. They called me a, and I apologize for this, nigger bitch, and cracked jokes about parts of my body. I recited the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm over and over in my head, trying to push back the fear. I assumed they were taking me to juvenile court because I was only 15. I was thinking, now I'm going to be picking cotton, since that's how they punish juveniles. They put you in a school out in the country where they made you do field work during the day. But we were going the wrong direction. They kept telling me I was going to Atmore, the woman's penitentiary. Instead, we pulled up to the police station and they led me inside. More cops looked up when we came in and started calling me thing and whore. They booked me and took my fingerprints. Then they put me in, back in the car and drove me to the city jail, the adult jail. Someone led me straight to a cell without giving me any chance to make a phone call. He opened the door and told me to get inside. He shut it hard behind me and turned the key. The lock fell into place with a heavy sound. It was the worst sound I ever heard. It sounded final. It said I was trapped. When he went away, I looked around me, three bare walls, a toilet, and a cot. And then I fell down on my knees in the middle of the cell and started crying again. I didn't know if anyone knew where I was or what had happened to me. I had no idea how long I would be there. I cried and I put my hands together and I prayed like I had never prayed before. Meanwhile, schoolmates who had been on the bus had run home and telephoned Claudette's mother at the house where she worked as a maid. Girls went over and took care of the lady's three small children so that Claudette's mother could leave. Marianne Colvin called Claudette's pastor, the Reverend H.H. Johnson. He had a car, and together they sped to the police station. Claudette. When they led Mom back, there I was in a cell. I was crying hard, and then Mom got upset too. When she saw me, she didn't bawl me out. She just asked, "Are you all right, Claudette?" Reverend Johnson bailed me out, and we drove home. By the time we got to King Hill, word had spread everywhere. All our neighbors came around. They were just squeezing me to death. I felt happy and proud. I had been talking about getting our rights ever since Jeremiah Reeves was arrested, and now they knew I was serious. Velma QP and Mary Ann's daughter, who was living with us at the time, kept saying it was my squeaky voice that had saved me from getting beat up or raped by the cops. But I was afraid that night too. I'd stood up to a white bus driver and two white cops. I had challenged the bus law. There had been lynchings and cross burnings for that kind of thing. Highway that led out of Montgomery ran right past our house. It would have been easy for the Klan to come up the hill in the night. Dad sat up all night long with his shotgun. We all stayed up. The neighbors facing the highway kept watch. Probably nobody on King Hill slept that night. But worried or not, I felt proud. I'd stood up for our rights. I'd done something a lot of adults hadn't done. On the ride home from jail, coming over the Vedcut, Reverend Johnson had said something to me I'll never forget. He was an adult who everyone respected. His opinion meant a lot to me. Claudette, he said, "I'm so proud of you. Everyone prays for freedom. We've all been praying and praying, but you're different. You want your answer the next morning, and I think you just brought the revolution to Montgomery." So that's just an excerpt from this book, which is just,
like a good book.
And I was almost crying. It's difficult to imagine that this wasn't that long ago, and the KKK was apparently still roaming the streets.
Yeah, the second Klan. That was the real one.
Oh, wow. My God.
That was the less drunken, more lynchy Klan.
Ugh.
The national headquarters of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan was a local call from Duke University when I was there.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little bit later, because that... Yep. This
50s forward Klan, it was multi-level marketing garbage, but...
When I was 7 years old, my grandmother's town still had black and white fountains.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah, I had fun with that. I drank from a black fountain.
Good job.
Got snatched up so fast, dragged home to my grandmother.
Oh, she didn't. So, Claudette was charged with three counts, two counts of violating Montgomery's segregation laws, and one count of assaulting an officer.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get that for free. That's why the NYPD's NYPD is having a big fight about
the funny story.
DA not charging resisting.
Yeah. The funny story is the only one that stuck was the assault on an officer, which was obviously not true. She did not assault any of these officers. After her arrest, Claudette found herself shunned by some of her community, and while suffering many difficulties, found herself pregnant by an older married man the summer of 1955. Claudette was one of the plaintiffs. Even after all this, right? After getting pregnant and dealing with all this, she still believed in getting black rights.
Young enough to know her constitutional rights and young enough to believe any of that's about to matter.
So Claudette was one of the plaintiffs in the Browder versus Gale in 1956, which leads to the desegregation of buses.
Yep.
At this point, she also has a career as a nurse's aide. So through all this, she still manages to get a career. She still pushes forward with everything.
Goddamn done.
But the wrongful conviction of assault on an officer stuck with her.
Yep.
She moved to New York when she was 20. She had been put on probation for her offense as ward of the state pending good behavior, though she never received official notice for the end of her probation. For years, her relatives worried she'd be arrested for any reason every time she visited Alabama.
With good reason.
Yeah. So in October of 2021, Colvin had moved back to Alabama and is now 82. She filed a petition in Montgomery County Family Court to have her criminal record expunged. On October 24th, 2021, Judge Calvin Williams granted the expungement. On January 5th, 2022, Williams said of Claudette, "Miss Colvin made a sacrifice in the case of freedom that has benefited people who were not even born at the time. It was a humbling experience to meet an unsung hero who is now getting the recognition she deserves. She helped give me the opportunity to hold the position I hold today. It's ironic but fitting that an African-American judge was able to give her a measure of the justice she was denied."
Yes.
So again, there's a whole book that I mean, again, so much information in this book. If you have any interest in, you know, black rights and how it came about and that sort of thing, please read this book, because I'm sure there's a lot of interesting information. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I will. The fact that this type of straight up racism and just absolute disgusting behavior and fear is so recent in our history, it's just very disturbing to me. I mean, yeah, all these things are still issues, but it's not plainly and obviously in law as it was back then. So step forward, maybe.
Definitely.
Could we do better? Definitely.
Absolutely.
And how can we do better? I say we need to point it out. Everywhere we see it, point at it. You know, let these fear-mongering asshats know that we see them. And we don't accept it.
Like, what was the pro-Nazi group that covered Madison Square Garden in their filth?
Oh, no idea.
It starts with a B.
No idea. The Bund?
Yes. Who was still, like, their rules were still enforced in 2014 on property that they owned in Florida. Because you couldn't rent to some colored folk. Because, yeah, that's who the fuck they were. That's who they've always been. They didn't go anywhere. We made them be quiet once. I don't know how we do it. We should do it again. Maybe it's because they got to watch us machine with such relish. Machine gun people who agreed with them ideologically. And that we didn't feel anything but recoil. Just, nope. Yep. Popping Nazis is as morally complex as bubble wrap. Whatever you do, it's like pirates. Whatever you do to them is okay.
No, but this...
It's not a war crime if it's a Nazi.
And the funny thing is we've all heard about, fucking, of course, now her name flies out of my brain. Who's the one that actually got the credit?
Rosa Parks.
Yeah. Rosa Parks, thank you. So
it's the optics.
Claudette Colvin actually says that the reason why they chose Rosa Parks over her was because of her complexion and her the texture of her hair made her look more like a middle class
white lady.
White
lady, which was all that mattered.
Yeah, she looked more respectable. And
yes. No, but that's how you win. Mm-hmm. Like, at some level, sure, it's bullshit and wrong. Cool.
Did it work? Yeah.
But again, she wasn't the first. There was many other women who had been quietly fined and whatever for refusing to
And this is part of what drove the not racist portion of America to go, ooh, fuck them. They're gross. Right? This, the bombing of churches, there's a laundry list of things that lead up to it, each time making there be less room to hide behind. Well, I can understand them, though. Right? They're really traditional. It's okay. And no?
Nope.
They're racist filth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We got a big dose of that in the late 30s to the mid 40s. And we're like, no, this is gross as shit, and that's not really our bag.
No,
but
I just feel like as Americans as a whole, we should be ashamed that we still have to have this discussion. We should be ashamed that being black is still an issue, right? We should be ashamed that being of any color, not white, can cause you problems in your life. Yep. Like, what the fuck, America?
But I think
the melting pot of the world is what we're supposed to be, and we're failing horribly at it.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's just disgusting. It this is something that I will get heated every time we talk about it because
that's
it's
fine.
Not okay. It's just not.
No, it was just Americans being shitty to Americans. We're freakishly good at that.
Yeah, because that's the thing. This is the thing that people don't understand, okay, when they're racist and when they're just horrible people, is that, you know, this is about human beings, and we're all Americans. If you live in America, you're a fucking American. Did you come here on a boat? Great, you're an American. Did you come here on a plane? Great, you're American. Did you walk over the border? Great, you're an American now. Welcome.
Well, there went that argument.
What one?
You just lost anyone who doesn't agree with most of your statement, unless you want to talk about only the people who've been naturalized citizens. Here doesn't make them American unless they're born here.
Fine, but...
Yes, no, I agree. But...
I mean, you could make an argument, but I don't know.
To everyone who agrees with you, sure.
No, and I feel like, you know, if you really, you know, want to, you should go through the steps to become an appropriate citizen, and I believe in that. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, part of the American dream, right, is doing just that, right? Like, getting here... And getting yourself legal and going through the process and stuff. But we actively make that really hard for people.
We made
actively
a horror show of bureaucratic nonsense.
Exactly. And I think that's my problem. My problem isn't that if you walk over the border, you're not automatically a citizen.
We didn't fix much of the racism. We just chased it into odd bureaucratic corners.
Yeah, exactly. We've just changed the definition a little bit. So people are like, I'm not being racist.
Yes.
I just want people to come here the right way. And yeah, we all want people to come here the right way. But when you make the right way so hard, right, and nearly impossible for a lot of people, that's where, kind of, sort of, it's a little bit your fault these people aren't going through the right channels. Because you're making it nearly impossible for them to do so, even if they want to.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's definitely an interesting discussion to have, for sure. But anyway, yeah, I definitely encourage people to come into America the right way, but I also understand situations in which that is impossible or difficult, excessively difficult.
Yep.
So, I mean, the fact that we have exported actual American citizens because their name sounded maybe a little bit like too Mexican. So, like, maybe you should go back to,
we've just grabbed
Honduras
people because they looked right and drove them across the border. Our history there was gross beyond words.
Yeah.
So, but that's a whole nother fucking discussion. But yeah, so that's the story of Claudette Colvin.
All right.
Definitely a lot more interesting of a woman than I originally thought.
Yeah, and that was more than I knew of the story, so I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, and having her describe it in her own words and the fear her entire community had to go through, being afraid that the KKK was just going to wander up the hill and possibly murder everyone for funsies.
At a time before it was the Klan that was really unlikely to do that. In a place where it was the Klan that was always really likely to do that. So...
Yeah, just not okay. But,
All right.
Anything else?
Yeah. That's it. Does anybody else have any comments?
Like, comment, subscribe.
That's before we log off.
Go to our Patreon. Look at all the funny things Risen came up with.
Yep. So the Patreon is Boomerex Tonight, no spaces. Yep. It's fun. You'll like it.
Yeah.
I'll have to go look.
Send us your money. You're just going to buy fucking colloidal silver with it, and we both know it. Then you're gonna turn blue.
We did that. We did a little bit of a photo shoot in the firelight. So I have some photos from that.
Cool.
But we're gonna do some more because I don't feel like that was nearly enough.
Okay.
So we got some plans to do some more stuff with that. But I did share one brief one photo from the evening, and we will be sharing others as time goes on. If you join our Patreon, I will give you a sneak peek of, all the ones that I liked the best. How about that?
All right.
But you have to join our Patreon. Give us, at least $6 for that. At least $6, and I'll let you see the pictures.
Fair.
Or, for $1, I'll give you a couple extra. But for all of them, early, before everybody else.
Okay.
More money. Money, 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 money. But yeah, so that's it. We love y'all. We've had a good night. We have a lot of more fun, exciting women, powerful women from history coming up. Again, we'll probably do that bi-weekly or monthly. I haven't really figured out. We'll see how I feel. Some deep dives that we've discussed we want to be doing. So we'll start researching those. And we'll see you back here tomorrow night on Boomer Rex Tonight.
Not me, Barnabas and I got to go to the moon to pick up drugs. Don't do drugs.